said on the best, we'll start just a little bit before on the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Sorry, Chaf Aleph Amud Bet. Amar Rav Kana Darish Rav Natan Bar Minyuma. Rav Natan Bar Minyuma gave a drasha in the name of Rabbi Tanchum. Ne'er Shel Chanukah Shenichal Amal Nechaf Ama. Put a Ne'er Chanukah up above 20 amot, which would be about 30 feet or so. Psula Kesukah Mavoy. It's just like Pasul, like a sukkah and like a mavoy on Shabbat. By the way, this wouldn't apply if you had other windows that were also for the same height. This would only apply if you had something up 30 feet and there was nothing else at the same level. But if you're in an apartment building and there's another apartment that across the way, so that wouldn't be considered up 30 feet, I believe. But ask your halachic authority. Amar Rav Kana, Darash Rav Natan, Bar Minyuma, Mishmeid Rav Tanchum. The only thing that this has in common is that it was also one of the drushes that Rav Natan used to give, Rav Natan Bar Minyuma. My Dechdiv Vahabor Reikim Vamayim, by Yosef, it says the pit, the cistern, was empty. It had no water. By the way, that's a difference between in Tanakh, the only difference between a be'er and a bor. A be'er is filled from a ground spring. It's a be'er, a well. And a bor is filled from rain. It's a cistern. So that's really the difference in Tanakh. Today it's used a little bit differently, but in Tanakh, if you see be'er and bor, so that's what you're dealing with. So bor reikim b'mayim mashmashneimar or. Baborek, any of the Ashain Bomayim. If you told me it's empty, I know there's no water. Alamatam Alamar, what is the Pasuk trying to tell you? Bomayim, Mayim Imbo, it doesn't have water. Avon Chashim, Fakravim Yeshbo, but it certainly has snakes and scorpions. So that's essentially that. Gemara is pretty straightforward, and I won't tell you about the time that my roommate stepped on a scorpion in the gush, but I can tell you that it wasn't fun. Amar Rabba, Ner Chanukah Mitzvah, Lahanicha, Vitefach, Hasmucha, Tetach. I think it was just a generic the most common thing to be in a cistern is snakes and scorpions, but I don't think they're trying to tell you something specific. I think they're trying to tell you that when the brothers put Yosef in the cistern, you might think that they were just he was just relaxing a little bit in a private chamber, but that he was actually at risk as well, because the pasuk makes it sound like that he was not at risk. A simple read of the pasuk is Reikim Bomayim means they were putting him in a place that he wasn't going to drown. So it makes the brothers not sound quite so cruddy. So Rav Natan Bar Menumi is returning crud to the brothers, essentially, by saying that they unknowingly or irresponsibly put him in a place that could have caused his death, even though it happened not to. So I think that's more of the point, more than whether exactly what was in the boar, just trying to give an indication of the danger. So you're supposed to put it one tefach, that's about 3 or 4 inches, right next to the door. Where exactly do you put it? So Ravacha Berei Derav Amar Miyamin, put it on the right hand side. Rav Shmuel Midifti Amar Mishmuel Vehechota. Rav Shmuel Midifti Amar Mismol, you put it on the left hand side. The Hilchotah Mismol, you put it on the left hand side. Stationary Chanukah Mismol Mezuzah Mimin. This is pretty famous Gemara, really, as far as Gemara goes. Of course, this is coming in the door, not going out the door. I always find that confusing. You're supposed to light candles near Chanukah. You're supposed to light them right to left. Is that right? Am I right? Right to left. You start on the big day and then you move down, right? Is that right? Am I getting that right? I always forget every year. Right, but I never know which way that is. If I'm putting it out by the window, is it my right or is it somebody else's right? So I solve the problem, but I standing in the window. So I put the Ner Chanukah about a foot away from the window. We all slide into the window space. So essentially, we're looking in just like the people are looking in the, like people are looking in, and we light it the same way as people would look in. Because I think if we lit it the other way, we'd be sort of lighting it the wrong way. Sort of. I don't know. It's always a confusing question about whether you. Who's right and you're working
exactly
with.
Exactly what you described. Huh? And that's the way they do it in shul. Actually, sometimes the person gets between the window and the Nokia. But then someone said, no, that's the way you do it in shul. It's not the way you do it at home.
I wonder why you couldn't do it. It's just confusing, because if you do it from home, you face the wrong way, and then you're going right to left, left to right. I'm not sure. I'm not. In the end, we're going to see it doesn't make that much of a difference. But I think the direction of the candle lighting, Olin Bekdusha and the Ordin Kesuvah, I'm not sure any of these ideas are preventing the mitzvah, because you really only have to light one candle anyway. So, well, as long as you can count X numbers, then you're okay.
Yeah.
I think it's the idea of while you're in the process of the mitzvah, are you old Eber Kedusha, are you your Eber Kedusha? So the truth is, it probably doesn't make a difference. It could be, I don't care whether he's just going to see, theoretically, they won't even see, their houses were very dark. All they saw were a bunch of flames. They wouldn't even know which way it was. Today, when you look in somebody's window, so it's pretty bright, so you can see whether you lit on one side or the other side. But I'm not sure I'm not sure it makes a difference. I think what I do is not because it's necessarily the right, necessary way to do it. I just always figure I should line myself up like a mezuzah. You know, if I want to figure out what the mezuzah is, so I step outside.
Right.
And I always get confusing. What about doors that go both ways? What do you do if you have a...
Both ways,
right, right, but like on a mezuzah, so what do you do if you put... What's that?
The room that's more chashu, but the one that's...
Right, but sometimes it's a real call. What if I have a living room, dining room, they're both chashu, so which side do I put a mezuzah on?
I think it was outside the house.
Yeah, by the chukhaniyah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But I'm thinking about mezuzah, it gets a little bit confusing, because I don't know which way is in. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. Yeah. But it's a call. You know, it's a subjective call. Like for my kids, the TV room's the most important. For me, it's the kitchen. It really depends on which way.
It's also practical, too. Because I put... I put a mezuzah going from family room into the deck. Family room. More hushu, right? So you would put it to your left.
Right.
But no, they told me take it and put it on your right. You go out into the deck.
No, but
so
the deck
you're
coming.
Yeah, but I guess it's not considered outside. All right, well, I got us off on the side conversation. Look, right. Leave it to me to take it easy, Gemara, and turn it into a big complicated discussion. So,
I apologize.
No, I'm sure it was me. Let's see, where were we? The two dots, so we pass in that way, so we're about 10 lines down, the third set of two dots on the page, first one lies miyamim. Amar yudamar ashi, asur lahartso maot kenegin er chanukah, you can't count your money to the light of the chanukiah. Ki amrita kamin shmuel, so they mentioned this halach in front of Shmuel. Amar li, so he said to me, v'chi ner kedusha yeshma. I don't see. So why can't you count it? The light. There's no kedusha there inherent in the Chanukah light. So the Gemara makif le Rav Shmuel. Rav Yosef attacks Shmuel and says no. V'chidam kedusha yishba. Blood also doesn't have kedusha. But we learned the Tanya v'shafach v'chisa. So you spill the blood and then you cover it up. But me'ash shafach ichasa. You do it with your hand, not your foot. The kli that you did to spill is the kli that you do to cover the thing. Why? Shelo yichasena berega. You don't want to kick dirt over the blood. Shelo yu mitzvah bezuyot alav. Hachinami shelo yu mitzvah bezuyot alav. It's not that there's kedusha, so you can't use it like it's some kind of korban. The problem is that you can't do it because it's an embarrassment. It's belittling the mitzvah based on the what we learned by blood, by covering up the blood after shechita.
So they don't cover using their foot.
They cover using their hand, according to this. I believe this is halacha. If you're asking me the case, you got to ask, I guess, Berliner,
right.
He would know.
You
just cover it up, right? If it wasn't for this Gemara, I'm sure they would.
No, you need to, first of all, you need to prepare.
Ahead of time, right?
Ahead of time.
Right.
You need to speak a little bit so it's soft, so the blood will come.
Right.
Then you need to pour.
You know, it's interesting. Why you still requires, shechita to be on their list of things to learn. But the Israeli rabbinate does not. Shechita is no longer on the list of things you have to know to become a rabbi for Israeli smicha. I guess certain things get it's not like everybody does in a backyard anymore. So some things go out of style a little bit. So by many, I wonder whether one day, right now it's on, I wonder whether salting blood will be, that's also an esoteric set of laws. By many, my Rebbe Yoshua ben Levi, Ma'uli Stapik Minoy Sukkah. So, what about getting pleasure out of the sukkah? The dangly things, the decorations. Kol Shiva, all 7 days of the holiday. So, Malay Hari Amro Asur Lahartzo Maot Kenegid Cher Chanukah. So he says you learn it out from the fact that you're not allowed to use a Ner Chanukah. Summer of Yosef, Marya de Avram. And by the way, this assumes that the reason why you're not allowed, according to this, this assumes that the reason you're not allowed to touch the noy sukkah is because of bizui mitzvah, which is not what most people think. Most people think that it has to do because of muksa, because it's muksa. Yeah. So Amar Rav Yosef Marya. So let me finish up the Gemara, and then I'll mention what it is. Amar Rav Yosef Marya de Avram, which means God in heaven, so to speak. Talia Tanya, but the low Tanya. You're learning sukkah out from that you get from Chanukah. Sukkah Tanya, Chanukah low Tanya. We have a brayta by sukkah. By Chanukah, we got nothing. There's no brayta there. The Tanya Sachcha Kehilchata. If you made a schach, according to the law, the itra b'kramu b'stinim amtsuyarot, and then you put on streamers if you want, you decorate with sheets or something. The talaba goes in on those sheets or whatever on the schach. You hang nuts, a farsakim, I guess, I don't know, or I forgot they are, farsak is, what?
Nuts, peaches,
peaches, shkedim, rimonim, parchilei, anavim, I don't know, some kind of a grape thing, maybe raw grapes or something, or small grapes. The atarot shel shibalim, and I don't know, the leaf, the shibalim, the wheat stalks or whatever. Yenot shmanim, the saltot, I'm not sure what those, saltot, I don't know what that is exactly. Five. Oh, that's solet, right. Solet, from the word solet, right. Good. So asol is tapek me on motzei yom tov ha'achron. You're not allowed to use them until shmini atzeret over. Shochag. V'im hitna lehem. But if you say you're going to use them, I call a fitna. Then you can use them. If you say, on X and X a day, I want to pull down some of that solet and bake myself some bread, then you're allowed to. So elamar Rav Yosef avuhun dechul adam. So the reason why we learned it out is not because we were learning out from Chanukah, we learned Chanukah out from blood, and that is a diorita. By the sukkah laws, we have a brayta, which is Torah Shebal Peh, which is all very nice and good. But here we have Torah Shebichtav or at least Torah Shebal Peh that's learned directly from a pasuk, which is you have to treat the blood in the same way. We have to cover it up. So therefore, it's not that we're learning sukkah out from Chanukah. We're learning out sukkah from Chanukah, which we learned in turn out from Dan. By the way, the issue of bizui mitzvah actually applies on muksa doesn't apply in Chol HaMoed. As far as I know, muksa doesn't apply. Muksa is only an idea that applies in Shabbat and Yom Tov. What about Chol HaMoed? So the reason why we can't touch on Chol HaMoed is because of bizui mitzvah.
So these decorations, it doesn't matter whether it's fruit or whether it's just decoration thing.
Whatever. Make use of them, just like we don't make use of a Chanukah light.
I thought, if they talk about if these things fall down, don't touch them, leave them. But so that seems to me like muksa.
The case of Yom Tov, so it's muksa, so you can't touch it. Because on the Yom Tov, it's muksa. The reason why it's usher on Yom Tov is because it's muksa. And that's much more serious than bizui mitzvah. Right. It's a much higher level. If it falls down, chol HaMoed, so I don't know why you can't touch it. Because I'm not sure maybe it would still be considered bizui mitzvah, because what are you going to do with it? You mean, just throw it away, type of thing?
Yeah.
During Chol HaMoed.
Yeah, it seems disrespectful.
You can't take it
on the floor.
Hang it.
Hmm?
You can take
it. You can put it back up.
Sure. You can make.
You can't use it. You can't use something else with it why? Because you had said, listen, I want this to be used as part of the 7-day mitzvah, so it would be a bizui to do anything else with it. But I think you could pick it up. It's muksa on Yom Tov. You can't pick it up. You leave where it is until muksa Yom Tov. But I think during Chol HaMoed. Think so. Again, ask your local rabbinic authority, but I believe so. Yeah. Anyway, let's continue on. So, this is probably the most complicated piece. Itmar Rav Amar Eim Malikim Menair Lener. So, you're not allowed to light from candle to candle. It's pretty famous. So, Shmuel Amar Malikim. You're allowed to light from Nair to Nair. Now, we're going to see there are two ways to light from Nair to Nair. One is to go directly from one candle to another candle, and one is to use an intermediary to light from one candle to an intermediary, and then from an intermediary to the second candle. So we'll see. So Madlikin Rav. I'm sorry. Where were we? I'm sorry. Rav Amar. There's three laws like this. So Rav Amar Ematir and Tzitzit Mibeg of a Beggy. Now I have to take Tzitzit off one clothes and put it on another clothes. Tzitzit, of course, meaning just the strings. Shmuel Matir says it's okay. Mibeg of Matir and Mibeg of Beggy. You're allowed to do it. Rav. Third law. Rav Amar in Halacha. Wait. Did I miss one?
Candle.
Tzitzit. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, there's another one. So Rav Amar in halacha Rav Shimon Begreira. Rav Paskins that the law is not like Rav Shimon Begreira. Rav Shimon, what does Rav Shimon say Begreira? He said it has to do with Machshevet Malacha and Kavim Kavan on Shabbat. I am allowed, the question is, am I allowed to pull along a table along a ground on Shabbat knowing that I'm going to make ditches out of it, like, ditches out of it. So according to Shmuel, you're allowed to do it because it's not your kavana. You don't want the ditches, that's not your intention, you want to drag the stuff out. The fact that you happen to know that it's going to happen is not your problem. Rav Shmuel Amar Halakha to Rav Shimon. So Rav says you can't do it because you know you're going to make the ditches, and Shmuel says that you can do it because it's not your kavana. Of course, if you had kavana to make ditches out of the sapsal, out of the thing, so obviously then you couldn't do it. So Amar Rabbi, Kol Mili Dimar Avid Kirav Levar Mihani Tlat. So the truth is, when it comes to Isurim, we always pass like Rav, except for these three things, Avid Kishmuel. So we actually pass on those three things. You're allowed to light candle with candle.
What is candle?
Well, we don't know yet. It's one of two possibilities. Either you take the candle, I take the first candle, and I light the second candle with it. And then either I light the third. I'm supposed to use a shamash. The assumption is here, no shamash. Even in the second case, we're assuming no shamash. What I do is I light one candle, and then I take something like a little piece of wood or a match. I light from the first one to the second one. Probably went out in the meantime or something like that because they didn't really have matches or whatever that would work. So therefore, I take another one and I light from the second to third, and the same from the third to fourth, etc., etc. The idea of shamash not existent in these cases. So halacha Rav Shimon Begreira. Detanya Rav Shimon Omer Gora Adam. Detanya. We learned Rav Shimon Omer Gora Adam Mitav Kisei V'Safsal Uvav Shelo Yikavein Lasot Chari. It's fine. New case. This is a fourth line from the bottom. Yatif ahu mirabanan kami dirav adabar ahava. There were a bunch of chachamim were sitting in front of Rav adabar ahava. Yatif the kamar, and what did they say? They sat and they said, Tama dirav. The reason why Rav says it's asher mishum bizui mitzvah. You're not allowed to do it because of bizui mitzvah. Amar lahu so Rav adabar who's this? Rav adabar ahava says no way. Lo tatzidulei. Don't listen to these guys. Timei the reason dirav mishum dekamachish mitzvah. Kamachas mitzvah. What does Rashi say? That essentially by transferring the, by using, when I take one candle that's lit for the mitzvah, when I'm using it for anything, whether I'm directly lighting another candle, whether I'm lighting an intermediary to light another candle, I'm removing some of the oil that's on the first candle, and that means I'm taking away from a mitzvah that's already established. I'm cheating a mitzvah. Okay? So those are the two possibilities. The Gemara says, my ben ayu, who cares? What's the difference? It says, no, ikabinei, there's a difference. The kamadik, mishraga, l'shraga. The difference is, what if you're lighting directly from one candle to another candle? Because man to amar, according to Chachamim, said that it's because mishum bizui mitzvah, mishraga, mishraga, madlik. You're allowed to light directly from one candle to another candle. What you're not allowed to use, you're not allowed to use an intermediary, because that's a bizui mitzvah. But to go directly from candle number one to candle number two, what's the big deal? They're both the same. They're the same. It's a king to a king, or queen to a queen. Yeah. So man da mishumichushim mitzvah, but according to the one who says that you can drain off some of the oil, mishrag mishragan amiyah, so it would be also a problem. Whether I'm using intermediary, whether I'm lighting from candle one to candle two, I got myself an oil loss problem. So, Mativ Rav Avya says, according to the Gro, we should skip the next two words. I go right to Nair, so, wait, sorry. Maser sheni ein shoklin kenegdo dinarei zahav. There are two cases here. Maser Sheni, by the way, every year number one in the cycle, year number two in the Shemitah cycle, year number four in the Shemitah cycle, and year number five in the Shemitah cycle, the second 10% that you take off from your goods, you get to eat Yushalayim. If they are too heavy, right, first you take off 2% for the Kohen, then out of the net, not the gross, but out of the net, you take another 10% Maaser Rishon, that all always goes to the Levi, go Levi. And then afterwards, the remaining 10% of the net, so that's about, I don't know, 8.8% now, really, of the total, that's yours to keep in the first, second, fourth, and fifth year. Right, in the third and the sixth year, that's Maaser Ani, and yeah, that has to go to an Ani also. But 4 years, you get to keep the food. The only problem is you got to help support the economy in Yushalayim. Now, since it's not likely that you're going to be able to schlep your produce all the way to Yerushalayim, unless you happen to live there, you're allowed to trade in those goods for money. You essentially say, I take this money and I'm poda all the goods with this amount of money. You can then take that money and do whatever you want with Yerushalayim. I mean, I guess within limits, right? You could buy ice cream, you could tip people. I'm pretty sure you could, I'm not sure it's only for edibles, it's really any kind of purchase and bartering and whatnot you could do in Yerushalayim. Now, Once I've made that money exchange, I'm not allowed to use that money exchange on a scale. Ein shoklim, I'm not allowed to do a scale. Kenegdo dina reza hav. Let's say I'm buying gold on the market. I want to know how much the gold weighs. So I know that I traded in 10 pounds of 10 pounds of dinarim of I don't know, copper dinarim that are now holy. I'm not allowed to weigh my gold dinarim against the copper dinarim to find out whether I really have 10 pounds of copper dinarim. I can't use it as a flat weight. I can't use these Kodesh money and turn it into a flat weight. Not only that, afilu chalal av matzah sheni. Not only that, but I'm not allowed to take this already Kodesh money, weigh out another set of money that I was going to use to be mechalal more Kodesh. You follow what I'm saying? So let's say you were mechalal $100 versus of your banana crop. I don't know if there is such a thing in Israel, but let's say you had a banana crop in Israel. You had $100 of copper coins, now traded in for your banana crop. Now you got your fruit crop, and you also have $100 worth of fruit crop that you want to trade in. You may not, I have to find out how much I need 100 more copper pieces. How am I going to know if I have 100 copper pieces? Very easy. I got my 100 pieces of already Kodesh copper pieces. I'll weigh those against the other 100 pieces of copper pieces. Cannot do. That is there to both, and you're not allowed to do such a thing. So Gemara says, "Iyamarta bishlama ki pligi Rabu Shmuel miner miner." When Rav and Shmuel were arguing, was miner miner. Aval bekinsa asa Shmuel, but Shmuel would agree that it's ner l'ner. Everybody, that's when Shmuel says, "Listen, it's not a problem to go from one to the other." By the way, this can't be bizoy mitzvah. This has to be like Rav Ada. Why? Because Shmuel says probably that the only problem is bizoy mitzvah, and therefore you're allowed to go ner l'ner. And Rav says, no, it has to do with the fact that you take you up some oil, and therefore it's usher. But everybody agrees that if you use an intermediary, that's usher, both Shmuel and Rav. Why? Shmuel would say it's a bizui, and Rav would say that you're losing oil, and it's a bizui, probably both. So that works fine. Aval b'kinsa usher, but if everybody, usher Shmuel, but if everybody agrees that a kinsa, which means the intermediary guy is not okay, halo tehevi tiyufta, then this whole bright is not a problem. You know why? Because in either case, when you're weighing these other monies against your primary monies, it's still a kinsa. That is, whether you're using just weighing your own gold to see how rich you are, which is totally, you know, like a bizui, or whether you're actually weighing other ma'ot that you're going to turn into kedusha, that's not a bizui, but it's, I'm sorry, that... Right, sorry, then you're still going through an intermediary. That is, there's no bizui there, because you wouldn't think there's a bizui there. Why? Because I'm taking one set of money to make another set of money. But the problem is, at the time you're weighing them, the second set of money is not Kodesh yet. That's the same thing with the lighting of the candles using this intermediary wick. That is, sure, I'm doing something holy with it, but in the meantime, I'm using something which is not holy to produce a holy function. So therefore, this brighta works out beautifully, because even if you're trying to make more money holy, you're not allowed to do it, because you're still, it's like you're using an intermediary which is not yet holy. So, Ela'i amarta b'kinsa nami shari, but if you're saying that Shmuel thinks that a kinsa is also okay, habi tehevi hiyufta, then you have a tiyufta. Why? Because this brighta, according to Shmuel, that would mean that the only problem that he has is with the bizui. And if he says that there's no bizui also when you're going to an intermediary, then also here too by the maot, you have this intermediary maot, which are not holy yet, that only become holy, and yet it's usher. So that would be a problem. So I'm a rabba, gzeira shem lo yichav in mishkotav. No, it's a different reason altogether. Really, I would be able to use, I would, to weigh my gold, that I couldn't do. To weigh other copper pieces, which in 2 minutes I'm going to turn into Kodesh, that I'm going to do just like I could use an intermediary to go from one candlelight, from one kind of candlelight to another candlelight. Why can't I do that in the case of the copper pieces? Because I'm worried what's going to happen. I'm going to weigh against 10 copper pieces, which I'm sure are 10 copper pieces. And now I'm going to find out that, you know what, those original monies that I traded in, I traded in 11 copper pieces, which means I overspent on my kiddushin. And then the guy's going to say, you know what, I want one copper piece back. You see? He had $100 worth of bananas. He thought he was originally weighing $100 of copper pieces. It turned out to be $110 of copper pieces. By weighing against other things, he's now suspicious. And he says, oh, wait a second. You know what? I think I misweighed the first time. Now he figures out that instead of doing $100 worth of copper pieces, originally he had done 110 copper pieces. He's going to say, oh, I'm taking 10 copper pieces back. I'll spend it on whatever I want. But he can't do it because the whole batch is Kodesh. So therefore, it's a special gazer. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's Bizui Mitzvah. We're concerned that you're going to miscount. You're going to misweigh. Mati Rav Sheisha, Michutz LeParocha, I got another question for you, and this is a long setup. Michutz LeParocha, they do Yaruch Oto. There's a missing word, Oto. That is, outside of the curtain, you have to set up the menorah. Bechila orahu tzarich. Who needs light? Valo kol arim shanasha halchu by Yisrael midbar lo halchu el la oro. God doesn't need your light to see. God, nobody needs a light. In fact, you don't need the light because you have the or that was outside the Mishkan that people saw perfectly fine with. Ela eduti, but it's a sign, it's a testimony. It's something that people will ask about. Labai olam, shashchina shor b'Yisrael. Because by the fact that this light is lit, then people know that there's still shchina. Why? Because there's a miracle that happened. My edut, what's the proof? Amarav zu ner maravi. This is the western light. Shenotin bashemen kemida chevrota umimenahu madlik uvahayam sayem. So let me explain what's going on quickly. What you had, there are two opinions, by the way. There's an opinion that let's assume that this is the this is a good case. This is the Beit HaMikdash, and here is my menorah. There are two possibilities. One is the menorah is like this, and one is the menorah is like this. If the menorah is like this, the Ner HaMaravi was this last candle. And what they would do is they'd light that candle, and that would last. It was a miracle. Even though they only put in the same amount of oil as all the other ones by morning would go out, right? They would light it in the afternoon. All the other ones would go out, but the Ner HaMaravi would not only last through the morning, it would last up to the next afternoon, and then they'd use the oil, start using the oil of the Ner HaMaravi to light all of the other ones. So that's the miracle that lasted a full 24 hours, which means, by the way, this idea of a Chanukim, the whole idea of the miracle of the Chanukiah lasting 8 days, that's not like a new idea. It comes from a more original miracle, which was the miracle of the Mishkan. Now, by the way, there's another opinion that the Mishkan is like this, west, east, that it was north and south, right? Because this is east and west. Sorry, east-west. Right, sorry, east-west. Here's the Kodesh Kodashim towards me. We always face the other way when we go to the Kotel, so it seems a little confusing. The Kodesh Kodashim was on the side of the Kotel. The other side is the way you walk in. And then it would be like this, in which case Ner HaMaravi was right in the middle. And remember how all the wicks always point to the Ner HaMaravi? Remember that miracle that they all point? So I remember my Rebbe, when he showed it, so he had like the wicks coming up like modern-day wicks, you know, and they would all point in, and it was like a miracle. How did they lean over and notice that? That's not the way it was. The way it was is when you had your cup, and on it you had, you know, your menorah, like they have when you see those ancient Israel menorahs, they're like buckets of oil. You know what I'm talking about? Like a genie lamp.
Yeah.
And they have a spurt on one side, out of which comes the actual wick. So what would they do? On the middle one would be facing towards the Ma'arav, but the other ones would be faced like this. One, two, three, and the other ones would be one, two, three. It wasn't a miracle, that's the way they did it on purpose. That is, you pointed inwards. So that's how essentially it works. Steinfeld says, by the way, has a nice picture. Let's take a look. It's there. So, well, how are we doing? About 12 minutes. That should be able to do it. So the Gemara sets up this whole thing. Let me read that again. Amarav Zuner Maravi Shinoti Bashem and Kimida Chavatai. Got the same amount of oil everybody else. Umenahi Madlik, and you would light from it. Uvahi Mesayim. And not only that, at the end of the lighting period, it would also have more light for the other ones. Bahahacha kevan de kvi neirot lo sagya delo mishakio vadluke kasha ben lamanda amr mishum bizoi mitzvah uven lamanda amr mishum ichushe mitzvah. So what says bahahacha kevan de kvi neirot? You got to remember these neirot, even though they were twistable, they were stuck in their place. So lo sagya, they couldn't reach. There wasn't enough the lo mishkal luke to take it and to light the guy right next to it. Which means you must have used an intermediary to light from one candle to another candle. That's kasha ben lamad amar mishum bizui ben lamad amar mishum enchushe. That so if you say it's a bizui mitzvah because I'm using an intermediary. If you're saying I'm losing the oil. Either way, how is this possible to do such a thing? Because you can't do these things. So pop a tirgamir a pop. Pop explained the whole thing to us. The tivot aruchot. So they were long wicks. So when you turn, essentially you do like this. You turn one facing the other guy. You see what I'm saying? Like normally they're all facing the same direction, but in order to light, you'd turn one this way. It would then light because the wicks would be touching, and then you turn it back to its place, and then you'd light the next guy, and then turn it, and then the next guy, and turn it, and that's the way it was done. And the middle guy, you would turn both ways to light, you know, however it was done. There was like it was a cool little mechanism. It was like gears all turning in on each other. So that's what it was. Targum Rapapa Petila Aruchot Sof Sof Amanda Amri Shumichushi Mitzvah Kasha. But wait, that's fine according to the Bizu Mitzvah because you're lighting candle to candle, but we still have an oil loss. Gemara says, Kasha. Good question. So my Havi Allah, so what do we do? What's the halacha? Now we got a Kasha, what do we do? Because on one hand it's Rav, on the other hand I don't know what to do. So I'm a Rav, Huna, Bereda Rav Yoshua, Chazini, Hadlaka, Ose Mitzvah, Madlikin, Miner, Lener. So if the fact, the lighting of Chanukah is what makes a difference, then we go candle to candle. V'hanacha osa mitzvah ein madlikin ner miner. So I'll explain quickly. There's two possibilities. The machlokah coming up. When does the mitzvah actually happen of the lighting? Is it when you actually put the candle to it? In which case, theoretically, you can blow it out right away. There's halacha l'maisa. You can blow it out right away and still be yotzei the mitzvah because at the moment that you lit, it's fine. Or is it the hanacha? Is it taking the chanukiah and placing it in whatever place you want? That's all my, you know, presuming nisa. You have to like make it steady. So I think you publicize even if you see it, right? Because even if you're in a closed room, it's even okay for you. If I'm not mistaken, we pass them this way, and I think we do. If you light it and then blow it out, I believe you're Micaiah in the mitzvah if it's nighttime. I believe. Again, ask your rabbinic authority. Obviously, this is not the best thing to do. It's supposed to last. You're supposed to light it before the night. It's supposed to last until people come to the shul. But in the worst situation, if you're living in the middle of Arizona and nobody's around or whatever it is, then actually, if we poskin that it has to do with the lighting and not the hanacha, then a second will do, essentially. And I'm pretty sure that's actually how we poskin. In fact, I'm pretty sure because we had problems like that when I was in the Army, where you just couldn't leave it lit for a long period of time. Yeah, I mean we weren't in combat, but we were on the Syrian border. We didn't want to cause problems, so we lit and we blew out. If I'm not mistaken, also it was dangerous because it was in a tent, and you know you'd have to put a guard on and stuff like that. So it was oil and gunpowder, all kinds of things. So if I'm not mistaken, we blew as soon as we lit. Maybe that was a special case because we were in the Army, but and you should ask your local rabbinic authority. But I believe that that's the halacha. So therefore, if the lighting is the most important thing, then you go to ner because then you're sharing the same mitzvah with each other. But if the hanacha. The problem is that the first candle. Wait, why is that true? Hold on, why if it's the hanacha, does that make a difference? Hold on a second. Hold on. Why does the hanacha make it less likely that you could go directly from candle to candle? Hold on. You got a mitzvah of Hanukkah, hanacha tos, everyone can hear. I know what I'm reading, but I'm not sure why that's true. Why is it that it's not really a mitzvah, and therefore you're less likely to light from one candle to candle? Then it's not really a bizui, because even the first candle wasn't. The only thing I can think of is the first candle is like part of the mitzvah because that's what has to be placed. But the other candles, the lighting of them is less likely to be a mitzvah, and therefore you're going from higher mitzvah to lower mitzvah. That's what I'm going to say right now, but I'm not comfortable with the answer. Let's finish up the Gemara so we can end on time, and then we'll come back and visit this because I think this needs a little more observation. So the Gemara says, where was I? The Bayilahu, because we asked a question. Halakos and mitzvah. We're about 7, 8, 9, 10 lines from the bottom. So Tashma, I'll tell you, which one is the one that counts, the lighting or the placing of the Chanukiah? So Tashma, the Amar Rava, Hayatofesh Ner Chanukah, if you lift up an Ner Chanukah, the Omed, you're standing up, Lo Asaklum, that is, you didn't put it down, you refused, I don't know, you held it up the whole time until the candles went out, you didn't do a single mitzvah. Shema Mina, Hanach Ose Mitzvah, so obviously it had to be placed down, otherwise as soon as you lit it, even though you were carrying it, it would be okay. So where it says, no, that's not why. Hatam Haroa Omer, Litzorcha, who did not delay. The reason why it's not a mitzvah is because anybody look at you will say that you're just like one of those reading guys. You know, it's a reading lamp because that's why you didn't put it down. So that's no proof. Tashmai, another proof. Dama Rava Hadlika Bifneim. What if you lit it inside? The Hotzia Lo Asaklum. So if you lit it inside, Hadlika Bifneim, the Hotzia Lo Asaklum. You didn't do anything. Ia Marta Bishlam Hadlako Sem Mitzvah Hadlaka Bimkomo Ba'inan. If you're saying the halakha is it needs to be in the same place, that if the halakha is the most important thing, then that makes sense because you have to put it down in the place that you lit it. So mishum haki lo asaklum, and that's hold on. He lika b'fnei v'hotziyah, and you lift it lo asaklum. I amar to bishum hadlaka osem mitzvah hadlaka bimkomo ba'inan. You have to put it in the right place. Mishum haki lo asaklum. That's why he didn't do it. El I amar to hanach osem mitzvah. But if you say placing it down is the most important thing, amai lo asav lo klum. How come he didn't do anything? So what do I care if he lit inside his house where nobody could see it? He took it out and put it down in the right spot. So therefore, it must be that halakha is the mitzvah because the halakha was done in the wrong spot, even though halakha was done in the right spot. Does that make sense? So hatam nami haroehu omer tzorcha udadaka. Somebody sees him and say, oh, he lit it for his own purposes because he had it in his house. I don't know, he was washing, he was bathing with it before he decided to put it down. So that, does that make sense, or should I repeat that? How much time do we have, by the way? Five after, or exactly eight? Five after. So let me just make sure that's clear. So I lit inside, and I took it outside, losaklum. So if that's true, and hadlaka was the most important thing, then that makes sense. If hadlaka is what I'm supposed to be doing in the right place, then that makes sense why what I did was just a waste of time. Because so what if I did the hanacha in the right place, the hadlaka was done in the wrong place. If the hanacha was the important thing, then what difference does it make where I lit? I could light on the car coming home, and as long as I put it down in the right place, I'm fine. That means that hadlaka must be the ikar mitzvah. Because in the end, he wound up doing nothing because he did hadlaka inside. Where's my little comment? So hatam nami aroa omer tzorcha u'adach. Last line. Tashma. Damar Rav Yoshua ben Levi. Asha sheet. What if I have glass? Shahayet doleket v'holechet kol hayom kulo. It was lit all. It was my Shabbat candle, and I had it lit the entire Shabbat. It was under glass. Lemotzei Shabbat mechabe. What do? You blow it out. Do madlika, and then you light it again. So if you're going to say the hadlaka is the most important thing, that works out well, because all they did was tell you to blow it out and relight it. But if you're telling me that placing it does a mitzvah, what are you telling me that I should blow it and light it? I should have to be forced to lift it up and put it back down, because originally it was a Shabbat candle. So therefore, hadlaka must be the important thing, because that's all they're required to do, is do a rehadlaka, not a rehanacha. They should have required him to do. V'od, I got another proof. V'od, mikadam varchin. Just look at the bracha. Asher k'nishan v'satah b'tivadu lahadlik ne'er shalchan. It doesn't say la'niach ne'er shalchan. It doesn't say al mitzvat ne'er chalak. It says lahadlik ne'er shalchan. I have to light it. Shmamina hadlaka osa mitzvah, shmamina. So that's it. It's the lighting which counts, and therefore I believe if you blow it out right away, you're okay. Bahashta damina hadlaka osa mitzvah. Now that we've established the hadlaka is the most important, hadlika chayrish shote v'katan lo atzav ala klum. If somebody was blind, chayrish shote v'katan, or could not make the bracha, he didn't do anything. Isha vadai madlika, but a woman absolutely could light. Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, nashim chayav open air chanaka, a woman can light. It's chayav to light, not can light, chayav to light. I apologize. Did I say blind? Cheres is somebody who's deaf. Shota is somebody who is dumb. I'm sorry, somebody who is mentally impaired. And katan is a minor. It's true, not blind. So what does that have to do with hadlaka, though? What does that have to do with hadlaka? Why would that be more by hadlaka than hanacha? Why would that be more hadlaka than hanacha? Even if it was hanacha, why would those three people? How does that prove that hadlaka is the most? Like, why all of a sudden, now that we know that it's halakha, why all of a sudden do we know chayr shot of the kata not true? Even by halakha, it's not a sight issue. What? So maybe that. And therefore, because they can't hear it, or they don't understand it, therefore it's no good. But the other way, you'd also have a bracha. You'd have, I don't know, a niyach mer. I don't, it's very difficult, Gemara, I think, to my mind. All right. And finally, lachim chayav open air, chanukah sh'af hayu ba'otaneis, because they were in the miracle. I tell you something very interesting. The Shulchan Aruch says that a woman can light for a husband, even if he's not there. That's what Sfaradim, though. But Ashkenazim, it's funny. Not even Ashkenazim. The Ramah, it was the Mishnah Berurah really backed off of that and said that it really shouldn't take place. I'm not sure how he did that. Sometimes he does stuff like that. But I suspect the Sfaradim have the right of it, and the woman, the Gemara is pretty clear. A woman's chayav, just like a man, sh'afiyata ba'ota ha'neis. That's the Gemara, and if you would forgive me, I would just like to go back to that part that I had a problem with. Now that we have a few minutes, and I'm not so much under pressure. It started with, right after we present the idea that the candles used to twist to light. It was Vaha Hachi, which is about three lines below the Tosfot, which says Uvahaya, second Tosfot of the page. So we said Vehahacha came on the Kvia Ner Lo Sagia, since they couldn't reach each other, the Lo Mishkal of Vidluke Kasha Ben Lamanda Amar Mishum Bizui. If they can't touch each other, then how did you light? You must use an intermediary. Whether you assume it's Bizui Mitzvah, or whether you assume that it's Achushe, the loss of oil, you got a problem. So then we changed the story, and we said no, there's actually candle wick sticking out, so when you turn them around, it goes place to place. Then Gemara asks, "My Havi Allah?" It's right next to. I know it's about 15 lines from the bottom. The last word of mine is Amar Rav as an acronym. So my Haba Allah, Amar Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yoshua Chazina Yihalaka Ose Mitzvah. If the lighting of them is one does the mitzvah, then you can be madlik ner v'ner. We're not worried about, I guess, bizui mitzvah. V'hanacha osem mitzvah, but if it's the placing down which does the mitzvah, then ein madlik ner v'ner, because we are worried about bizui mitzvah. And the question is why. So let's see if Rashi says anything. Why is it that when it's hanacha, I'm looking at Rashi, it's four lines from the bottom. V'ikar mitzvah. Mitzvata taliyah b'hanacha ein ladik b'ner v'ner. So I says lahadlaka lav mitzvah hikulahai, because the halakha is not so important. So why would it be a bizui? I don't understand. Why in that case would it be less of a bizui? If it's a real mitzvah and each one's a real mitzvah, so I should light. If the halakha is not such a big mitzvah, so what difference does it make that I'm using an intermediary? I'm not mavaz anything because I'm not really doing the mitzvah yet. Is there an art school on this? I don't understand why hanacha would be more, you know, would be more inappropriate to use an intermediary. What does the art school English say on probably the same as the Hebrew. I can read the Hebrew. I'm not sure. I understood the Hebrew, but I'm not sure I was comfortable with it. Yeah. So I'll read you what it says here, and we'll finish up with that. However, if the placement of the Hanukkah lights principally accomplishes the commandment, ein madlik min emaneh, we may not kindle from light to light. Okay, footnote 23. Even though no intermediary is used to perform this kindling, since one wick is lit from the other, the kindling itself is only a prerequisite for the proper placement of the Hanukkah lights, which alone assures that the goal of publicizing the miracle will be achieved. So far, so good. Hence, since the kindling is not fully a mitzvah act, kindling from light demonstrates disrespect for the mitzvah. I didn't understand the Rashi. I'm not smart enough to get the Rashi. This is just a repeat in English. Hence, since the kindling is not fully an act of a mitzvah, why? Because the real act of the mitzvah is after I've lit it, I put it down wherever it's supposed to be put down. Therefore, from kindling, that's how we wound up in the end.
Right.
We were trying to figure before we knew for sure. We weren't sure which, whether it was the lighting or the kindling, the lighting or the placing. But the one thing we figured out is if it's the lighting which is the important mitzvah, then there's no bizui. Why? Because this candle's chashuv. I'm not using an intermediary because we came up with the spinning idea, right? I'm going directly from candle to candle, so there's no bizui mitzvah there. So I'm fine. That makes sense to me. But if hanacha is the ikar mitzvah, which means it doesn't make a difference about the lighting so much, but it's the placing down of the mitzvah so much, that would be considered a bizui mitzvah to go from candle to candle. Why? The first candle then is also, that is, they're still on the same level. In the first case, they're all kings of the world, and I'm lighting one king of the world for another king of the world. But in the case of Hanacha, they're all jacks, because the real king of the world is when I put it down. But if they're all jacks, again, what difference does it make if I take one jack and light another jack? They're all on the same equal plane. And I'll read again what it says. It says, 23, hence, since the kindling is not fully a mitzvah act, kindling from light to light demonstrates disrespect for the mitzvah. I could read it 1,000 times, but I don't get the svara of why that's true. If it's not the ikar mitzvah, so I should say less. There's less likely for bizui mitzvah if what I'm doing is not fully a mitzvah. You see what I'm saying?
Therefore, since it still is, so you're making use of that is.
That's inappropriate. I got it. So if the candle lighting is important, then when I take that first candle and I light the second candle, that act is special, and therefore it can't be considered a bizui. But if the lighting is just a preparation, by treating those candles not as the lighting is special, but oh, let's get to the hanacha, that's an insult to the process. Okay, it's possible. I think it's still Tzarech Iyun, but that certainly works out. Have a good night, and I will see you next Tuesday, I assume, 7:50.
You'll be here next week.
I will, and I have